they remember. And so we just want to make sure that we give you some nuggets of the Word of God. And I just want to talk tonight, and it may be that we only may get to a few scriptures tonight, Sister Sissy. And we have these scriptures tonight that we will follow. Last Wednesday we didn't follow, but we'll follow this Wednesday. But I want to talk about God's church. How many is glad to be a part of God's church? I'm glad to be a part of God's church. There's an old song that some of you may know, some of you may not know, but it just, you know, it goes something like, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I am part of the family, and that's the family of God. Some of you were kind of nervous. You thought I was going to bust out the song and sing it. No, I won't do that. I'll let you do that. But I am glad to be part of the family of God. I'm glad to be part of the body. There's something about being part of the body, because we are all members of the same body. We all serve a purpose. We all have a job to do. You say, well, what's my job? Well, you're part of the body. And we've got to find our lane. You know, you got to find what your lane is, and you got to find what your lane is not. And understand that we are all working together. And I'll say it again later in this, but I want to say it again on the onset, that there are no big I's and little U's in the body. There's no big I's or little U's in the church, in the kingdom of God. We all serve a purpose. You may preach behind a pulpit. You may sing a song. You may be able to play an instrument. But whatever it is, we're part of the body. You may greet somebody at the front door. You may be on the soundboard. You may be in the media department. You may be an usher. You may be maintenance crew. You may be Sunday school. You may be youth group. You may be hyphen. Whatever it is, we're part of the body. It's almost like where the body, Brother Landry, they got together. And they said, you know, it's not fair that we do all the work. The hands got together. You know, we grab the stuff. The eyes see it. The feet and the legs, they walk to it. And they got mad at the stomach, because all the stomach did was just sit back and collect the food. I wish I was a stomach, the body said. But you know what we're going to do? We're not going to feed that stomach no more. And it wasn't long till the body functions started to stop and slow down. And then they realized how valuable the stomach was. Every one of you has a ministry. Everybody has a purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, first of all, I challenge you to pray. And ask God, God, could you reveal your plan for me? Could you reveal my purpose? Could you show me my ministry? If you'll do that for a week, and if God hasn't spoken to you, would you come to see me? And we'll begin to talk, and I guarantee you, we'll find your lane. We'll find your purpose. I had someone years ago that broke down crying and said, I've been in the church for so long and I've never had a purpose and a plan. And all of a sudden, out of their own lips, they started showing what they were passionate about. And I said, there you go. There's your ministry. There's your purpose. Everybody has a purpose. I went today to get a haircut, and it wasn't long until we start talking about God. I didn't go in there looking for a God conversation. I went in there looking for a haircut. But when you start having God on the brain and you start living this, not just in church, but you live it out there, then you just start talking about the things you love. And I'm glad I'm a part of this church. I love this church. I love my God. And I'm glad about it. And so tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about God's church and the way God wants us to act and the way God wants us to live and God's plan. Can I tell you, God has a plan. We don't just roam around in life, you know, hoping, kind of like Alice in Wonderland when she went to the cat and she said, which road do I take? Remember the cat said, where you going? And what did Alice say? I don't know. And the cat says, well, then it doesn't matter which road you take. Many of us in the church, we're on a exercise bike. We're pedaling as fast as we can. We're breaking a sweat, but the bike's not moving. We've got to understand, I've got to set a goal. I got to have a purpose. I got to have a plan. Well, Pastor, how can I do that? Well, can I give you a 411? This is your roadmap. This is God's plan. This is God's word. And if you'll read God's word, guess what will happen? The word of God will start illuminating. And you're like, what in the world? And you'll grab your glasses and you'll look at it too. And you're like, I've never seen that before. And then you show it to somebody else and you say, would you look at this? I've never seen this. Well, what happened? Well, you got into this word and you were open to the word and God illuminated that, and God's word began to do what? Began to speak to you, because this word is alive. It is not dead, because this word is God. God is not dead. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Bible, the Word of God that we hold in our hands, it's alive. It has every answer, every solution, every miracle, anything you need, you can find it in here. Can I tell you, how many's ever read a self-help book? An inspirational book, a leadership book. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to say, you know, bad on you. But all of those in leadership and motivational and all of that, you'll find that it comes from here. A lot of the truths and the principles are on this, because it's the Word of God. And if we'll start studying this, that's why the Word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to learn to understand this. If we don't get in this word and we don't study this word, guess what? We're going to believe a lie. And the Bible says we will be damned, because you'll get around people and they'll tell you parts of the Word of God. And if you're not rooted and grounded in sound doctrine and truth, then you're going to say, that sounds good. Well, maybe I don't have to come to Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe I don't have to come to prayer. Maybe I don't have to fast. Maybe I really don't need a pastor. Maybe I don't need a church. Maybe I could just do it myself. Bible says the carnal mind cannot discern the things of the Spirit. I told two lovebirds yesterday in my office, I said, if I'm looking for diet and exercise advice, I am not going to a 550-pound dude. Nothing wrong with that dude, but he ain't going to give me the tips. If I'm looking to become a multimillionaire, I'm not going to look at the guy that's homeless. Nothing wrong with being homeless, but he don't have the principles. If I'm looking for direction to the kingdom of God, I can't go to somebody to read my palm and break out some cards and tell me my future. I need to get in the Word of God and say, God, would you show me? Would you teach me from this word. I'm talking about God's church is founded upon his word. And if we're going to live this life, we've got to live it according to the word. If a contractor that built this sanctuary, how did he build this sanctuary? Did they just say, you know what, it'd be nice to have a little hallway there, maybe, you know, 3-4 can lights over there. You know, let's just throw some exit signs up. I don't think they got, they just started to work and just hope everything got in its right place and the right order. Is that right? I think they had something called blueprints. And I think before they even could build, they had to get approval from the city to give you a permit to be able to build it according to the specs, according to the blueprint. And in God's church is not just something we just do and we just come together and sing any song. And no, it's the blueprint that we must get to. It's the word of God. And we've got to say, God, I need you to show me and teach me out of this, because my family, my marriage, my children, they depend on it. And I've got to understand that everything I do and everything I don't do is not predicated on man's ideas, but it's predicated on the word of God. And I can't deviate from that because it's not my plan. And can I tell you, this church that I'm so thankful to be a part of, this is not my church. It's not your church. Well, you don't know how much I gave tonight. Who cares how much you gave tonight? People think because of what they can do and how they contribute, they think it's their church. They think just because they grab a microphone and they're able to preach and they have eloquent voices that they begin to rule the show. No, this is not your church. It's not my church. It's God's church. And I thank God that he allows me to be a part of his church. Can I say it again without sounding redundant? I'm glad to be a part of God's church. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I really am. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you're part of it. Amen. One of the main building points of building his house, and this is where I want to talk a little bit tonight about God's church and God's plan and his blueprints and his laws. Can I tell you what we've got to start on before we do anything else? There's a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of things we can discuss, but can I tell you the very foundational part of where I want to talk tonight, and maybe talk next Wednesday, I don't know. We'll see how God leads us. But I want us to talk about unity. Because we need unity in everything that we do. If we don't have unity, there is no way that we can be a part of God's church and the kingdom of God. United we stand, but divided we fall. And we need unity. Somebody shout, I need unity. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Brother Cole, won't you read that with mucho gusto? Was that mucho gusto? It's a mucho gusto. Hey, he did a great job. Give it up for him. That was mucho gusto. But I've seen mucho gusto when he plays basketball. He don't just talk like that to his brother. He gets a little louder than that. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they weren't in a Honda Accord. They were in one accord. Somebody shout one accord. The word one accord for you Bible theologians, Bible scholars. The word one accord is a unique Greek word which is used six times to refer to the church in the book of Acts. And this is a compound of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. And so the image is a musical one. A number of notes are sounded which, while different, they harmonize in pitch and tone. It's a choir. It's a praise team. I understand that many times I become tone deaf, but I know when it sounds good and I know when it sounds bad. And usually when it sounds bad, it means somebody's not on. Somebody's off. Whether they're pitchy, whether they're off tune, or whether they're singing the wrong part. In a choir, watch this. For those who don't think I know much about music. In a choir, there are altos, there are sopranos, and there are tenors. And occasionally, there'll be some low bass singers as well. And if they all start singing their own thing, it could be a wreck. But when they can come together and they could sing in the right and the same key and they could start harmonizing together, even though a tenor is not an alto, and a tenor is not a soprano, and a soprano is not an alto, and an alto is not a soprano, it doesn't mean they're better than one another. It just means they're playing different parts and different roles. When they were together in one accord, it didn't mean they were all doing the same thing, no. But they all had a different part to play, and they came together. They made different tones, but they produced harmony together. And can I tell you, the Holy Ghost is the link that brings us together. The Holy Ghost is our key ingredient to help us stay on the right track. You may not run and jump like Brother Landry. You may not quote mucho gusto like Brother Cole. You may not talk about our decree and offering like Brother Eddie does. But if we learn to get together, we are learning that we are rushing along in unison. And what we are doing is we're bringing unity to the body. Unity to the body really focuses on one goal, and that's the Holy Ghost. It's God. Where unity begins to separate is when somebody grabs the mic and says, "It's my time." Now, I've watched at times where the musicians, when they're playing together, it sounds good. But I've been at services where everything sounded good, but it was like the guy on this thing was like having his own show. And he was beating and he was hitting and he was slapping. And it's like, something doesn't sound right. Because I believe, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the drums are to do what in singing and music? Huh? Carry a beat, keep the rhythm, and flow. Flow with them. And that's the job of the keyboard and the organ and the bass and the guitar. But what happens if Brother Eddie just like, you know, just starts getting crazy and just starts... Because you could, Brother Eddie. You know how to play that guitar. And you could actually begin to shred and just have your own show up there. But we're going to be like, what's going on with him? He's not together. And so for us as a body, if we're ever going to do anything for the kingdom of God, we've got to come together, and we've got to come together in unity, and we've got to begin to rejoice with one another. You did a great job when you quoted the scripture. You did a great job when you did the decree. You did a great job when you passed out a songbook and you shook somebody's hand and you played in it. We've got to learn that we're together in this. We're not competing. I'm glad, and I thank God for people that can preach better than me and sing better than me. It makes me happy. We've got too many insecure people that want the show and want the light. And if they don't get the light and they're not being asked to speak or give a word or lead, then they feel like they are demoralized and they have no value and worth. Can I tell you, my worth and my value does not come behind in this pulpit. How many singers we got out here? Your worth and your value does not come in how good you can sing. Your worth and your value comes in Him. Meaning, I could preach a horrible message. I could sing a tough song. But if I understand that my value and my worth comes in Him, then my value and worth, it never changes. So if we learn to come together as one, then God begins to show up and God begins to reveal Himself. Because the power of unity is one of the most powerful forces on this earth. Whether for good or for bad, unity is powerful. You say, well, how could unity be bad? Well, wasn't there a guy by the name of Hitler? Wasn't he unified in hatred and everybody had their, you know what I'm saying? They were unified, were evil. I want to make sure we're unified for good. And we can do that. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 6. Genesis 11, verse number 6. As the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Isn't that powerful? In His prayer before His betrayal, Jesus prayed that the world might see a united church. He knew that the world would believe in Him when they could believe in us, working together. John 17, 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. If we'll understand, we have a goal, right? Sunday night I preached about knowing the goal, but forgetting the mission. We know the goal. We know this. Thank God for this. But now we've got to come together towards the mission. Well, what's the mission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim it. Tell everybody about it. Bible says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. Well, what's your testimony? What God do for you? Can I tell you, my God saved me just like He saved you. He may have saved me from different stuff, but He saved me nonetheless. Doesn't matter how big your sin was, or a lot of people like to say, well, that's a big sin. You know, I don't know if God can forgive that. He can forgive this, but He can't forgive that. Sin is sin, right? I don't care where you've been, what you said, what you've been involved in. Thank God for the blood. Where sin abound, grace much more abounds. Should we continue with sin? God forbid. Don't continue. Our goal now is to walk with purpose. Walk towards the mission. And so our mission is to tell people about Jesus. I did that today even. at the bank. Actually, man, it's like day after day. Now, yesterday was the same thing as I'm taking a loan application. We start talking about God, and I had both of them crying at my desk. And it was pretty cool. They were like, man, this is like a divine appointment. I said, you better believe it is. Thank you, Jesus, for the loan, and thank you, God, for the soul. When you start walking in this, you start living in this, it's more than just Wednesday and Sunday. It becomes a habit, and I love it. Just start talking about God, and great things begin to happen. It's our mission. It's what unifies us. Thank God for that. Amen. So our cities are not lost because the devil's power is greater than God's. Let me say that again. Our cities are not lost because the devil's powers is greater than our God's. Our cities are lost because we promote our own agendas and our own kingdoms. Many are lost because we promote us. Look what I can do. Look how I can preach. Look how I can sing. Look what I've done. Look what I've given. We promote us and we fail to promote God. It's what I can get. What can I achieve? How can I get the credit? How can I capture the attention? I want people to focus on me and what I can do and what I can give. If I'm not leading or singing or being in the spotlight, I don't want to be any part of it. As crazy as that sounds, there are people like that. There are people that have that idea. And they get mad because they haven't been asked to be in a leadership position. That's why I told you at the very beginning, you need to pray where your lane is. Praying where your purpose is, because we need your purpose, part of our mission. We've got to come together. You know what's incredible about ALC is a lot of our ministries, they're just interwoven. Every department just about. We talked about two Sundays ago that every department at Abundant Life Center should all be about outreach. Should all be about going out to the highways and byways and compelling them to come. Because I'm going to tell you, we cannot truly pray, thy kingdom come, until we first learn to pray, my kingdom has got to go. Temptation has killed its thousands, but disunity has killed its tens of thousands. And babies die easily in a fight. No one has ever left the church because of God or what God did to them, but they have left because God's reputation was ruined because of his children. They have walked out of the church because of someone in his church hurt them. They left and no longer come to church because somebody in his church discredited them and discarded them. Romans 2:24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as is written. Can I give you a statement? I'm going to close real quick. I got a lot more. But I want to give you a statement that I read from Brother Gandhi. Anybody know Brother Gandhi? Can I read Brother Gandhi's statement? Brother Gandhi's statement is this. He said, I would have become a Christian. I would have become a Christian were it not for observing Christians. What he was saying was, I would have become a Christian, but I have watched how Christians lived. I would have become a Christian, but I watched what they did. I listened to how they spoke. I would have came to church and been a part of God's church. But I watched Christians interact with others. And I decided, I don't want to be a part of that. You know what's sad is
and I'm done. You can start playing. I got so much more. But what was sad in Bible college, I worked at Red Lobster. I haven't told a Red Lobster story in a long time. Red Lobster was very good for me. It helped me pay my bills by myself and give me a little extra spending money. And I ate really good. Garlic cheese bread, lobster steak, shrimp, endless shrimp. But working there at Red Lobster, everybody liked to work Friday nights, Saturday nights, because the dinner time, the bill was higher, and the tips were greater. Lunches weren't really that good, but they were okay. I mean, you'd make a little bit. But nobody liked working Sundays. And the reason why they didn't like working Sundays is because the majority of the customers were churchgoers. And the reason why they didn't like churchgoers was because churchgoers complained about everything. Churchgoers were rude, disrespectful, complained, asked for everything under the sun. But the worst part about it is they never hardly left a tip. Gandhi said, "I would have become a Christian, but I observed them. I watched them." I'm glad to be a part of God's church. I'm thankful you're part of God's church. You are such a dynamic part of Abundant Life Center. And I love every one of you. It is a privilege, it is an honor to serve with you in the kingdom. But can I tell you, as much as I love you being here, and I'm glad you're here, this church doesn't need you. Meaning, we'll get by without you. I don't want to see that happen, but we'll get by. Because God doesn't want anybody to come in here strutting their stuff and saying, "I got it all figured out. It's all about me and my way. It's all about give me, give me, give me." But that's not the kingdom way. Kingdom way is, what can I give? How can I serve? What area can I get involved in? Can I tell you, I thank God that I was able for a couple years to become a server, a waiter. It's the only job that I ever had where actually when I went to sleep, I'd have dreams of it. It was stressful. It was a lot of work. But I thank God for it because I understand the stress that just a simple server, waitress, waiter goes through. So now when I'm at a restaurant and my food is cold and service is poor, I still tip high. Because I want them to know, and I want to do my best to shine the light. It's not about me, it's about Him. So God's church is a church that says, we're going to come together. We're going to unify. We're going to let people know I'm a child of God. Not by our words, but by our actions. Because sometimes your actions are speaking louder than the words you're trying to proclaim. And I'm praying, God, would you help me? Help me come together. Help me learn to serve. Help me learn to love people and serve our world. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a part of God's church. Y'all just came back
over 37,000 plus. I heard 36, I heard 37, I heard 40. Who cares? It's in the 30s, a lot of people. Coming together under one roof, worshiping God, gives us fuel to know we're not fighting by ourselves. This is bigger than us. And one of these days, Sister Stella, when the Lord calls us home, we're going to worship with one another together. We're going to be united together again. It's going to be worth it. There is a reason why we do this, because it's God's church. It's God's plan. It's God's formula. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you raise your hand towards heaven? And from the depths of your soul and your heart, would you just say, God, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your church, to be a part of your kingdom. Help me, God, find my place. Help me, God, find my lane. When I walk out to this world and I'm at school and I'm at my job, I'm at the restaurants or wherever I'm at, God, shine a light through me. Let them not see me, but let them see you. I want to be united, God, for your purpose. Would you lift your voice all across this place? I think it'd be good. It's early enough. Why don't you step out from where you are? Why don't we lie on this front with our hands raised, with our voices raised, saying, God, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my lips. God, I want to be a part of this. I want to connect with this. I want to be unified with such purpose. I want to be intentional, God. There's a world that needs this. Let me shine the light. I know there's those that have been off and walked off the path, but God, let me stay the path. Let me stay the course. Help me, God. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice all across this place.
Use me, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Use me, Lord.
To be a part of your church, a part of your kingdom.
Take all of me, so the world.
I want to please you. I want to live for you. I've got family that needs this. I've got friends that need this. Help me learn to come together. Help me learn to find my purpose. Help me learn to find my lane. Hallelujah. I love you, God. I love you today, God. Unite us together. Bring us together. Bring us together, God. Hallelujah. We love you today. We want to serve you. We want to please you, God. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Oh, God.
Take all of me so the world can see
you live within my heart. Hallelujah.
Take my hands. Take my feet. I will follow where you lead. I am yours and yours alone.
One more time with hands raised towards heaven. Sing you. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this church. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Help us come together. Help us learn it's not about us, but it's about you. And help us, I pray, God, by the power and the authority of your name, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Find two or three people.